Yes, it's working. Hey, welcome to Wake Up with KC. I'm KC here and doing some things a little different. And thank you for joining us. And today it's unraveling, going more into the past episode that I just released with Sean Logan from Out of the Matrix. And I wanted to cover some things that I studied so you can get that same information. And I just went with books that I was drawn to. And I cross-referenced with the books that they mentioned that they studied. And, you know, these individuals are like my mentors and helping me along the way of me discovering truths, you know. What if you have a false identity of who you are, and that is like a connection to the root of all your issues and why you struggle the way you do? I talk about limited beliefs, programs, even emotional energetic traumas, and the connection and how it intertwines is our ancient history. That's how far back these traumas go, going into the DNA, all the way to the womb. Which womb? Let's go back in history. And based on what we were taught to believe or how we were created, what if that was a lie? Made up story with symbols and metaphors to get you to believe in something to keep you separate from your true authentic self. Because I honestly believe, truly believe, with the innermost being of myself, that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. So, from that episode to this episode, he mentioned a Mario guy. So I'm looking for his books so I can cross-reference, but the ones that I've been drawn to that I've already read these four books, okay? And I go back and forth with them because now I'm going to these other books. So let me share the first I read The Lost Book of Enki, okay? From Zachariah Sitchin. I was drawn to him for some reason. And then he has The 12th Planet, which I listened to an audio. I just happened to get these books during the pandemic. And I, had to keep myself occupied in between everything else. And then I actually got, I was drawn to this because of the things that I questioned. So I'll be sharing the questions that I asked and how I got the answers through the ML tablets by Billy Carson. The compendium of the ML tablets. This goes by Thoth, and it's very interesting. He's been studying and researching, and he had his own questions because of his story of a UFO encounter with like seeing a flying spaceship. And then I got The Stage of Time with Matthew LaCroix. So this talks about the symbols and the Anunnaki and whatnot. So now I'm like connecting the dots. It's like when you ask a question, question everything. And then I just got both authors, The Epic of Humanity, Billy Carson and Matthew LaCroix. Now, they both come together and you see I got these things cornered of the things that, and I've got them highlighted too. That's what I do when I'm cross-referencing. But I've been, based on what they say, and then I'm going back to this book because there's some questions that I'm trying to connect the dots to, and I've gotten some of them, but then I'm going back to this book. However, they have studied books like this. This is a like really short book. There's tablets. I've been writing notes about this. So this is really in depth, and the translation of the Enuma. Somebody said includes the Atarahasis. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. But this is by another author, Timothy J. Stephanie. You could go look it up. It's like 106 pages. No, 109. And it has bibliography resources that you could go check. All right. Billy Carson mentions about not just Zachariah Sitchin, but George Smith, the Chamberlain account of the Genesis. This is more, I mean, this is like really in depth. So I'm grateful and thankful that Billy Carson, Matthew LaCroix, even like Paul Willis, they make it more easier to understand, because when you're reading this, it's a lot, and they're going by what those before us transcribed and understood, and then they sort of like simplified it so we can understand these ancient tablets, because it's a key element to who we are and how to learn from our history so we're not repeating it. That's my take on this. So I really encourage you to, if you're starting to question things, hello. And not only that, in my discovery, I also got the Anunnaki Connection. This is from Heather Lynn, The Sumerian Gods, Alien DNA, because I'm been talking about the blood types, you know, and the fate of humanity. So she has studied, and she, you know, it's what their take is about our ancient history with the Sumerians and whatnot. And they're pretty much saying the same thing, but they went to other countries too, and there were similar writings from other civilization. So when you cross-reference with those ancient histories from all over the world, and they're pretty much describing the same thing, pay attention. You know, this one really is, I started the complete Anunnaki Bible from Joshua Free. Oh my gosh. It is the, wow, I'm getting hit. Whoa. Woo. Because it's the language that they describe in here. I keep getting hit. And it's the tablet M1-9, Book of Maklu and the Maklu Ritual. So there is, I would say, valuable information here. And I'm just, you know, going through what resonates with me in seeking truth. And once I got, like, when I go back to how, I'm just gonna, wow. Okay, I'm gonna, And I sikunusi ele mesmusiti. And I'm connected to this language. Now, I'm not channeling that. I'm trying to. Speak in that language, but I have and it's just like something that rises up in me every time I think about this. I'm connected to the Anunnaki language, and it seems like I have it right in here, but I'm having a hard time, like when I'm my natural self, but when I go into the spiritual and the channeling, it comes out naturally to me, and the frequency and the vibration sometimes interferes for it to come out, but I just feel it it just comes. I speak this language so like I've spoke it before in a past life. It sounds crazy, but it just makes sense to me. So there you go. So that's why I got this book, because I'll be getting back into, you know, what they spoke. So it's wild. But I like these, you know, the Epic of Humanity from Billy Cross and Matthew LaCroix. The Stage of Time is so, oh my gosh. The Secrets of the Past, the Nature of Reality, and the Ancient Gods of History. All right. So these gentlemen that, and, you know, the ladies that also wrote, is just amazing of the what they studied and researched and came to share with us in order to help us realize things. So that's some of the the things that I've been studying and researching. So I wanted to go back to this the Lost Book of Inki, because I'm drawn to Inki for some reason. I can't shake it off. I can't. It's hard to shake off if that sort of relates, if you can relate to that. There, from my understanding, I don't know what happened there. I must have touched a button. Sorry about that. 445,000 years ago, they call them astronauts. And then the civilization and whatnot considered them gods. They started worshiping them from, if you want to start this journey. But it's 445,000 years ago. And then around 250, that's when the civilizations sort of certain higher categories, or if you want to call it, you got to look up Amberambi's Code of Laws. There's 300, but there was somebody that reigned before him. There's only 13. And then there was someone before him. I have my notes somewhere on this, because I asked the question, well, where did Amberambi get all these laws? Like, how did he even think of wages, taxes, and physicians, and, you know, who are the property owners, who are the employees, who are the slaves, based on his writing? And it's within that, the time periods, and who was allowed, who was privileged enough to get the education, to get this understanding and be able to learn how to write. Because I've asked the question, if you go on my TikTok, my question when I started this journey was, who was the first civilization? How did communication begin? How, you know, like, how did they read, write? You know, I've seen a lot of pictures and, you know, if you, all over the world, there's pictures of drawings and whatnot. Then you got the clay tablets that have writing. So I'm like, where did they come from? Who taught them that? You know, and so I came to understand about this Anunnaki. From the Sumerians, and it's funny how, like, here's a question I ask. Okay, they I just, like, I'm blown away every day when I start reading this stuff. There is, and I did cross-reference with, I think it is, where they mentioned the same thing. Oh, the Enuma Elish talk about this. But okay. I'm going to go to the Enuma Elish because that's the oldest one who was translated. I put it in. I could have sworn I did. I know I found it somewhere where they were talking about, was it the English or the Anunnaki connection? All right, now I can't find it. Dang it. Because I was cross-referenced based on what, Inky. So I apologize about that. All right. So at first, you know, we all heard about the Adam and Eve story, right? Which is not true based on my understanding and what I've discovered and found out. It is here. Now, let me give you a heads up about this Lost Book of Inky. Apparently, I will get to another episode about this, but Nabsar, who was a master scribe, the son of Eridu, city servant of the Lord Inky, great god. And it's funny because they say in the seventh year after the great calamity, in the second month, on the 17th day, that's when he was summoned by his master Lord Inky, great god benevolent, fashioner of mankind, omnipotent and merciful. Okay. And this, now my connection to this and what I've so far figured out is this is when they launched the seven weapons of terror and Sodom of Gomorrah, because that is written in the Bible, but it's not the truth of what happened, okay? Then I think there is a place in Jordan that's still the same, but there is three other places that those weapons hit. So, and I have a feeling, so I'm trying to connect the dots and get more into research on this, finding historical maps. I think one of the places, it's now Iran and Iraq. That's what it's called, but it was called something else before. So I'm going back and cross-referencing with this. However, Inky wanted to like clear his head or clear his conscience and get this person to write out on these tablets. And I'm curious where these tablets are. So I'm doing my research and to help me understand more, because the more I find out, the more I question. You're going down a rabbit hole on this ancestor DNA. However, going forward, there was, in this book, he goes over of how they created, they came down and created the civilization, primitive workers. That was based on Inky's perspective and what he was trying to accomplish. And these Ijijis that got tired and went on strike, apparently. And they didn't want to do the work anymore. So Inky was like, well, let's just create, you know, there's civilization here already. And the thing about it is, they were there, and I guess the civilization or whoever was there, and I question this, like, well, did they see them? You know, because there's parts of the story where they're watching their what they created, these human beings, primitive workers, having sex because they were monitoring them. They were observing them and they're watching them have sex to see if they were going to procreate, you know, reproduce. And apparently it wasn't going well, but it was like, you were actually like spying on them in an invisible realm. It was like they were so highly evolved that they can become invisible and then manifest in the physical. So this is key with what I'm sharing with you. So please be patient. And I'm like thinking, well, that's interesting. Because, I mean, how many movies, Invisible Man? Like, could movies have been almost sharing some key wisdom on something on the spiritual aspect based on somebody's imagination? Or was it something, not just the imagination, but on a soul level from a past life, a past ancient history that is coming back to remembrance? Bear with me, I'm going somewhere with it. There's a point to all this. I just got a self-realization. I'm like, wait a minute, hold up a second. Ascension? Transition? Ascension? If they could have done that, well, in the midst of trying to create human beings, we are made in their likeness and in their image. It's in our DNA. If you want to call it junk DNA, that's what they call it. But what if it's more to it than junk DNA? What if in certain time and cycles and events that help activate, we're just getting through a solar eclipse, and there's a new moon. There was a full moon. Now there's a new moon. There's a solar eclipse. There is Mercury going into retrograde. There, like all these planets, and we're going into like right now. I think it's Pisces out, but our Aries and then Pisces. There, we're going into Aquarius. I have to go back and check. Something comes in for a moment, and then it leaves, and then something else comes in. And we've been in the Pisces, now we're going to Aquarius, if I'm not mistaken. These are significance meanings to this, because the Anunnaki understood this. The Incas, the Mayans, the Egyptians, you know, even the Sumerians and Babylonians and the Assyrians, they followed the cycles of the moon, the cycles of the sun. So it's fascinating. It's like I'm remembering things like deja vu. Have you had that kind of? Do you have those experiences? Have you had those experiences? You know, I'd love to know. But anyhow, the one part that I had aha moments with, and I'm questioning, I'm like, wait a minute, hold up a second. All right. So here at a lot of time, birth givings were occurring. At a lot of time, 7 male earthlings were born. Their features were proper, good sounds. They were uttering by the heroines. They were suckled. 7 primitive workers have been created. Nangish Zita, which I do believe is Thoth, was saying, let the procedure be repeat. repeated, seven more the toil to undertake. My son, to him, Inky was saying, not even seven by seven sufficient shall be. Why seven? Why seven? My thing is, there are seven continents. So they created one for every continent. I'm just putting that out there. Just something that like really connected with me. So what about you? All right. Let them know each other as one flesh. The two. Oh, wait. Hold on. I jumped ahead. Of heroin healers, too much is required. Forever their task this way shall be. Now they had the Anunnaki women giving birth to these seven males. Okay. So this was like interesting. Because in the wombs of the birth-giving herons, the fertilized ovaries were inserted. They were doing IVF. Duh. Oh my gosh. So this is what they did. And then it was, let me, so is Ninma with a trembling voice saying, let me of Ninki, my spouse of the, that inquire, Inki was saying, let us her to the house of life summon. The matter before her lay out, he was turning to depart when Ninma put her hand on his shoulder. No, no, to Inki, she was saying, the admixtures by me were made. Reward and endangerment should be mine. I shall be the one, the Anunnaki womb, to provide for good or evil fate to face. Inky bowed his head gently. He embraced her. So be it. To her, he said. And then in the clay vessel, the mixture they made, the oval of an earth female with Anunnaki male essence they put together, the fertilized egg in the womb of Nimba and Inky was inserted. There was conception. He handed the newborn to Nimba. She held him up in her hands. My hands have made it, victoriously she shouted. Now this is the account of how Adamu by name was called and how Tiamat was a counterpart female for him was fashioned. The newborn's visage and limbs, the leaders carefully examined, of good shape where his ears, his eyes were not clogged. So that's how Adamu came about. They used an earth female. Earth female what? And an Anunnaki DNA mixed it together to create the male. Now, Adamu, I shall call him, Nimma said, one who like Earth's clay is, that will be his name. Now, then once they got that taken care of, a model for primitive workers. What would you think primitive workers were back in those times? Knowing what I know now, slaves. All right. They made a crib. They fashioned a crib for him. In the corner of the house, they placed him. Now, a host of workers like him are needed, Nigish Zita, his elders reminded. A model indeed he shall be. As for himself, like a firstling, he shall be treated. From toil, he himself will be protected. His essence alone as a mold shall be. So is Enki saying by his decree, Nenma was greatly pleased. Whose wombs henceforth the fertilized ovals shall carry? Nig Ishida was asking. So, the leaders of the matter pondered Nenma a solution offered from her city, Sherubak. Nenma, female healers summoned. The task required to them, she explained. To the crib of Adamu, she led them, the newborn earthling, to perceive. Performed the task is not a commandment. Nenma to them was saying, your own wish is the decision. Of the female Anunnaki assembled, seven stepped forward. Seven the task accepted. Let their names for all that be remembered. Nenma to Enki was saying, their task is heroic. By them, a race of permanent workers shall come into being. Now, they list the seven. And then earthlings in their wombs to conceive and bear permanent workers to create. In the seven vessels of the clay of the Abzu made, Nenma ovals of the two-legged females place. The life essence. You're still a baby. Of Abzu, the life essence of Adamu, she extracted bit by bit in the vessels she inserted. Then in the male part of Adamu, an incision she made, a drop of blood to let out. Let this a sign of life be, that flesh and soul have combined, let it forever proclaim. She squeezed the male part for blood, one drop of blood in each vessel of the admixture she added. In this clay mixture, earthling with Anunnaki shall be bound. Thus was Nenma saying an incantation she was pronouncing to a unity, shall the two essence, one of heaven and one of earth, together be bonded. No, be brought. That which is of earth and that which is from Nibiru by a blood kinship shall be bonded. So there's a blood. Something's coming to my mind. This is like a blood family. Like the Native Indigenous tribes did this. Like oh my gosh. I remember something to this, like when they promised something to one another, or they did a truce and came to peace with something, they just drew blood to seal it, kind of thing. That kind of that's what comes up when I'm reading that. Sorry, my book fell on the thingy, my keyboard, and it got me lost. Sorry. In the wombs of the birth-giving heroines, the fertilized ovals were inserted. Oops, I lost my bookmark. There was conception. Now, they talk about the ME formulas you must change from male to female adjustments. So they made seven males, okay, total. Now, the permanent workers by themselves give birth, Anunnaki females to relieve. Okay, so then they're like, we need seven females now. So the ME formulas that they created must change from male to female. Adjustments make, so did Enki to Nigishzita, which I'm going to say, I think it's Thoth. For a counterpart to Adamu to be fashioned in the womb of an Anunnaki female, conception is needed. So did Nigishzita to his father, Enki. Yep, that's Thoth. I'm not going to say that in word. That's just too long for me. It's Thoth. To his father, Enki, and responding, say, Enki at Nenma, his gaze directed. Before she could speak, he raised his hand. "Let me this time, Niki," my spouse summoned. That with strong voice, he said, "If she is willing, let her the molt of the female earthling create. They to the Abzu, to the house of life, Niki summon. They showed her Adamu, all that matters to her," they explained, "of the task that is required." They gave explanations of success and danger to her. By the task, Niki, which is Inki's wife, was fascinated. She was like, "Let it be done," she to them said. By the Emmy formulas, thought adjusting made by the mixture wasn't over-fertilized, and into the womb of his spouse, Inki, it inserted, which much care he did it. There was conception in the allotted time. Niki was in travail, a birth there was not. Niki, the months counted. Nima, the months counted. The 10th month, a month of evil fates, they began to call. Nima, the lady whose hand wombs was opened with a cutter and incision made. Her head was covered on her hands, protection she wore. With dexterity, the opening she made, her face at once was brightened. That which in the womb was from the womb came forth. A female birth was given. To Niki with joy, she shouted. The newborn's visage and limbs, they carefully examined, of good shape, were her ears, her eyes were not clogged. Apparently, they were experimenting with IVF. And there's one episode where one was really hairy, and it got me to thinking about Bigfoot, the Sasquatch. That's how they were created, maybe. I'm just saying, just go with what resonates with you. That just felt like, oh, and I got hit. Like, wow, that makes sense of how they were created. Gene manipulation. Hello. Her skin was smooth. To Niki, the spouse of Inki, she the newborn handed to be, suckled and nourished and raised. A name will you give her, Inki of the spouse inquired, being she's not a creature. So Tiamat, let her name be the mother of life. So now, in the wombs of the birth-giving heroines, there was conception, a lot of time. At the lot of time, 7 female earthlings were born. So what they did was IVF. Okay, so man was not the first created, because you need a female part. So it just makes sense. Like, well, how did man, like, you have to be really fucking stupid, excuse my French, to think you have to have a female essence. With male and female energy, there is female essence, biochemistry on the female side that goes hand in hand with the masculine male essence and biochemistry to even create something. I'm just saying. Makes sense. But this is what they're talking about. The 7 first man. And then out of those, they put them in cages, monitored them while they're having sex too. And they didn't see the Anunnaki. I'm just. But then, hold up a second. So they had this period. It took time. It did not happen overnight. And they talk about 36,000 years to 1 year. To one is one shar, 1 year, but it's 36,000 years to us, which Sitchin explains. So I have to go back on that one, because they go over it, you know, and then how long it took them to create the rivers, the canals, and maintain the earth. There's other people here taking care of the earth before human beings, because all the other ones that they were trying to create did not. How's the best way I can describe this? They weren't smart enough. Let's just put it that way. So then we got Adamu, right? Now, wait. And the eighth tablet, Adape comes in to hand. All right. And in the synopsis of the eighth tablet that the Inky goes over, is, I could just share it with you, is Adape's wide understanding. Now, there's a part in here where Inky, let me see, I have to find it, because I'm sure, listen to the speech, now this is the account of Adape of civilized mankind, the progenitor, and how by his sons Cain and Abel, sedentation on earth was started. Okay, so we've had all the misinformation about Adamu being Adam. There was already seven male, seven female already created. But then I think later on there was another time period that came, because it doesn't say. I'm actually looking to see, like, when did this happen? Like, first there was Adamu, now you have Adame or Adape. So, I just noticed that I got something on my shirt, and I was like, oh, where did that come from? Let me see. To live and die on earth, Adape must be true. Oh, okay. Hold up. There's some. I wish I would have highlighted. Damn it. I usually highlight this stuff. Okay. Of Nibiru are forgetting its life cycles by those of earth are overwhelmed. Let the two sons of Inki, as yet unmarried, to Nibiru also travel, perchance brides there for themselves they will find. When the next celestial chamber from Nibiru did arrive in Sippar. So where is Sippar? All right, Alabra, a vizier of Anu from the chamber, stepped off. So they were traveling in flying saucers. UFO, you know, ships. But back then, they were calling them chariots of fire or other things. And that's even, you know, those parts fascinated me. In the Bible, I'm like, no, that doesn't sound right. It doesn't feel true to me. But now I'm like, oh yeah, makes sense now. There was a part where Inky does something. I have come to fetch the earthling. Oh, Adape. Oh, wait, hold up. I have to go back to this part. That's where it is. Let us find it. Okay, the seventh tablet. Tiamat, bear, yep. Ah, promises, no, wait. Ah! Okay. All right. You have to go back to the seventh tablet, because here's where Inky encounters and mates with two earthling females. Like, he actually has sex with them. One bears a son, Adape, the other, daughter, Titi. Keeping his parenting a secret, Inky raises them as foundlings. Adape, highly intelligent, becomes the first civilized man. Adape and Titi mate. What? Hold up. That has to be if Inky is having sex with two, well, wouldn't they be someone, brothers and sisters, Adape and Titi? Based on what is saying here, oh, and have two sons. So Adape and Titi, so this is actually the Adam and Eve, Adape and Titi. Have two sons, Cain and Abel. And there's some interesting things about Cain and Abel that I will definitely share with you. It totally makes sense of what actually happened. And I think in this book, it is mentioned. So I'm going to go back and find it. But yeah. So my question is, what time period? Because then what happened to Adamu? Okay, return to the Abzu. Where in the world is Abzu? Adamu and Tiamat bear children, earthlings proliferated, working in the mines and as servants. Enlil's grandchildren, the twins Utu and Inanna, are born. Anunnaki couples bear offering other offspring on Earth. Climate changes causes hardship on Earth and on Lamu. I'm trying to cross-reference where Lamu is. Then Enki and Marduk explore the moon. This is in here. Find it inhospitable. Enki determines the constellations and celestial time. Bitter about his own fate, Enki promised supremacy to Marduk. Anu gives command of a new spaceport to Utu. I don't know where they're at. Not the band. Not to Marduk. Enki encounters and mates with the two earthlings. So, like, what time span are we talking about here? Because at first I thought it was Adamu and Tiamat, but apparently Adape, highly intelligent, becomes the first civilized man, and Adape and Titi mate, have two sons, Cain and Abel. So this whole thing about Adam, Eve, and the serpent and the apple and whatnot was a bullshit lie. And there's other civilization, the other human, like, they created. Hello? So, yeah. These are the things that I'm questioning and cross-referencing and discovering. Because if we are not, there's no more time for ignorance anymore. We have to wake up and we can fix this. It's in our DNA. The key and the answer is in our DNA. And that's what I'm finding. And I discovered all these beings that were created. Hello? There's a connection to this. I know this. I'm on a mission. I'm like become Nancy Drew. And yeah, I got my little, you know, it's fascinating. You got to get this book. If you're, and then get the Emerald Tablets, because the Emerald Tablets, based on Billy Carson, he has studied this. And he's the one I can sort of like understand based on what he's talking about. And then trying to read these books, I cross-reference with, because he better explains it. That's the best way I could tell you. And so does Matthew LaCroix. So I'm continuing on my journey. I just wanted to share little nuggets with you. I'll continue more because there's more to this. But I just wanted to share the idea and the thought, like, there's more to this than meets the eye, than what we've been taught to believe of who we are and where we came from. And if you believe in the lie, then is it possible that you have a false identity of who you are based on what you're taught to believe because of our parents, because of religion and whatnot? Granted, they can't help themselves because they were taught the same, you know, same bullshit, the same lie and the deceit. But it's up to you to change that. What if we've been lied to all along? And what would be the purpose of doing that? Oh, wait, primitive workers, slaves, suppression, which leads to depression, to keep you boxed in. Under control, manipulation. What if the others that were before us were trying to tell us the truth all along? And our ancestors ignored it because of their ignorance. And that ignorance continues to carry forward. Emotional, energetic traumas, the programs, the beliefs. And the truth has been like right there, but we didn't, we were blind to see it because we stayed stuck. And it was just go with that because that's what, you know, they say to believe. But did you ever question what they believed in? I know I have. And now I'm sharing things with you. This is the stuff that I've been, and there's so much more. There's so much more. You know, now when I see the symbols of, you know, from Peru and Mexico, Egypt, the Sumerians, their drawings. Now there's clays. I mean, I've seen artifacts, you know, through seeing the picture. I'm looking forward to traveling because I know once I get to these certain parts, I will be channeling. It's like they're there waiting for me to show up so I can speak in their language. And I can connect the languages to who I'm channeling. And it's amazing. It's going to be amazing. I'm excited about doing this. And I look forward to this journey where I'm doing it. I am going to be doing it. It's already starting to happen. It's already coming too. So stay tuned. I got more to share with you. It's KC from Wake Up with KC.